Good morning, and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way, and we are excited for another day of grace, another day in which we can bring this message of grace to you in the dispensation of grace. A lot of grace there. But anyway, it's a wonderful day. The sun is shining once again. It is a spring day out. I think yesterday was the first day of spring, if I'm not mistaken. And so the colors are starting to come out. It's still, there's not too many buds on the tree here in Ohio, but I can remember back going, when we lived up here, we've been up here 21 years now, maybe 22, and we'd travel down home, down through Pigeon Forge and places like that to stay the week around March at this time, and the tulips would be blooming, and the grass would be green, and everything just smelled fresh. Well, it's going to happen here eventually, but we just know that being in Christ Jesus, you should always have a new freshness about you, even though this world out there does not seem like it's pleasant to you. So I know that it's a dark world out there, but we know who, when we're saved and we trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, that light's inside of you, and that should be shining all around you. Lifting up the prayer requests and praise items to many of you that's been sick, many of you that's been traveling, many of you that's still in between jobs, babies, newborns, just all around, just life in general. Sometimes that gets you down, and we just know that when you take the focus off of you and let Jesus Christ be the focus, it makes a difference in anything that you do, decision-wise and stuff. And sometimes when you think about how, was me, and you look at somebody that you start talking to, and you're like, I don't have no troubles. You know, so just think about that. Be a light in this dark world, that we can go and be who we are in Christ Jesus. So thank you for tuning in on our Dispensational Bible Church .org page. That's our website. If you're tuning in on the YouTube channel, we thank you for that. You also on the broadcast, there's a broadcast app that you can download on your phone, Apple TV, Roku, Fire Stick. If you download that app and then you type in Dispensational Bible Church, you can watch us live right now on your TV. But we much rather have you right here, okay? And we miss you. We hope that you are getting along well. One day we'll get us back together. We look forward to that. Because even though I love teaching with the small crowd that is here today, you know, you can't replace the corporate church, okay? Knowing what you're going through, talking, and just being who you're a part of. I know many people join groups to have fellowship. I'm talking about outside church groups. Having fellowship, and sometimes that gets you through the day and gets you through some things, but to come together and study the Word of God, rightly divided, corporately, you can't beat that nowhere. So let me encourage you to come and join us when you can, and we'll continue to go that way. No new announcements per se, but if you we'll talk about if you want to give to the church later, we can do that at the end. So let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you've given us. And as we think about the Word of God rightly divided and how it makes a distinction in our study, the way you laid it out, we thank you for that. We thank you for the prayer requests and praise items we lift up to you. We also know that as studying the Word of God, sometimes it may be, we may not understand, but you do give us the mind of Christ once we're saved, and we'd be able to understand what you give to us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in lesson two. We put up a chalkboard here, so if you're tuning in, you can start seeing the lessons here each week. I know some of you's like, How can I find this? How can I find that? I think this would be a great way to let you know that, did I see that video before? It seems like he's saying the same thing over and over and over. Sometimes I do say things over and over and over, you know, because repetitiously you understand that studying the Word of God, sometimes it just don't click. You know, I was a driver trainer for years, and I watched people, and oh, I can do that, I can do this. And you get them, and you're like, okay, we'll see where you're at. And then they get behind the wheel, and they can't back. You know, well, I thought, or they can't change gears, or they approach the DOT line at a crosswalk, and they overshoot it, and they're like, I said, where's your DOT marker at? And they're like, I don't know. So sometimes it's good to just go renew your mind with some things. I have slapped a few hands, driving hands, in the past. I also slapped a few of your hands when you do some things too. So, but anyway, I'm just here to help, and I love teaching, and also, with that being said, Fundamentals of Dispensational, FOD, that's what this stands for, and we're in lesson two. And last lesson, we was looking at, one, there's three ways you study the Bible, okay? One, the literal method, not allegorically. You know, give the words their intended meanings, not mystical or spiritual, and let the Bible say what it means and means what it says. No hidden meanings. Now, think about that for a minute. When you literally or the normal meanings that the Bible says what it says, you don't have to spiritualize this. A lot of people do, and they get caught up in liberal thinking. They get caught up with not believing it's true, okay? Allegorically wise, we think it means that way. No, let it mean what it says. Two, we looked at the comparison method, verse with verse. Let the Bible interpret itself. You can find a verse and you say, oh, where's this at? Okay, you can find another verse, that verse for verse. Then we left off with the third method of studying, and that's where we're going to pick up today, the dispensation method, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. We already looked at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scriptures are given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. So we then went through that. In fact, that's why we study the whole Bible here, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, the Bible's own way, 2 Timothy 2:15. So the Bible has a way of understanding it. Now, when Peter says there's no scripture is a private interpretation, he does not mean that you do not have the right individually to understand it. You know, you, that type of thing. You have your own individual understanding. What it means is that you have scriptures, no scriptures of private interpretation, meaning like the Roman Catholic says, only the Holy Mother Church can tell you what the scripture says. There's people out there that even today tells you don't need a Bible, let me tell you what to do, that type of thing. You don't want to go down that road. Many of you have. Now, when Peter means that is that you do not take one verse and let it stand by itself. That's what he's talking about. You understand a verse and you compare it with other verses. Now, the third method of Bible interpretation that we're looking at is the dispensational approach, is God-ordained method of studying scriptures. God has a design how you study the scriptures. He just didn't put them out there so you can just do whatever you want to with it. I always think about playing Russian roulette with the Bible. You don't turn the pages and stop and point your finger at it and say, hey, this is what God wants me to do. That's just crazy, okay? That's just not right. And the other two are just common sense. Let it say what it means and compare verse and verse, what we just said. So when you think about as you prepare yourself in getting to know the Bible, getting into a training mode, getting into the way that you want, what God wants you to prepare to be a perfected saint. That's what we're thriving for here, guys. You know, you trust Christ Jesus that he died and was buried and rose again for your sins. He saves you, okay? You sealed, saved, sanctified. Now, how do you go on about perfecting yourself? How do you go on to grow into a mature saint? We think about a little baby. You know, I watch our grandchild, little Josie, and she, you know, first she's on breast milk, you know, and she's growing. Now, if you see her, you know what she's doing? She's eating everything she can get in front of her, you know, and it's exciting. She's just chomp, 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 and you're like, slow down. But notice she chomp, 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 chomp. Well, she didn't remain on breast milk. So as you think about, as you grow, it's the same way with growing in the Word of God. You have to feed your soul the doctrine and able to be a perfected saint. And that's what we're trying to do. And when you do that, you go on into work in the ministry. Many of us goes on and becomes preachers. Many of us go become bishops and pastors and all that stuff. Many of us is still working in the church. You know, so each one of us is growing. Now, grant you, each one of us are not in the same levels. So you got to remember that. And as you grow together. You're wanting to grow together and come up. Now, it is who we are, Christ's life living through us. And it's the perfected saints who are able to do the work of the ministry. That's what we're looking for. So my responsibility as a leader, as a teacher, as a bishop, if you will, as a overseer of the church, is to teach and to be able to teach the Word of God with confidence, and that way able this illuminates off the page and gets down in your soul and be able to change you. And next thing you know, I'm out of a job and you're up here. Isn't that a great thing? Yes, it's a great thing. But anyway, if not, we go on and build other churches and be able to teach other people the same thing. Until you get perfection, you cannot do the work of the ministry properly. Now, I've watched people in the past, I'm not meddling, I'm not preaching at you, that get saved and they get cited and they go to church, and next thing you know, the church sees them, they need workers. And they put those, they encourage you to put, hey, will you teach Sunday school? Well, think about this a minute. How much training have you had in the Word of God for you to go into nursery or go into child ministry and teach those people? Very little. And then you get discouraged. And then you just say, I can't do this no more. Or they want you to become a deacon or an elder. And they're out there, you know, and then you're like, I don't want to let so-and-so down. You know, that's what it is. Hey, get the Word inside of you. Let that change you. Then you get into the work of the ministry. And as you grow in the doctrine and understanding, it produces a movement. Okay? And as you grow, the ministry springs forth because the doctrine is inside of you and motivates you. There's a great way. Grace motivation is the only way today in the dispensation of grace to get you motivated the right way. I don't want to stand up here with a whip or a Bible in my hand and beat you over the head and make you come here and make you give and all that stuff. That's the wrong motivation. But I guarantee you 90% of people that's listening to this right now has had that happen to them. And they're so beat up, you know, they're just so discouraged. And they're like, I just wish there was a better way. Grace. You know, and when you teach people the grace method, you would give. You would give your time, you know, not so much writing a check, that type of thing, is your time to study, to grow, and grow together. So the only verse in your Bible that says to study the Bible, guess where it's at?
2 Timothy.
It's not in a book about the book, okay? It's not on a billboard. It's in the Bible. And 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And this verse also tells you how to study the Bible. By how?
Working.
rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? Let me ask you something. How much of this Bible is truth? How much?
All of it.
Every bit. From kiver to kiver. Okay? Now, the maps might not be inspired, you know, that type of thing. But from Genesis to Revelation, every word is truth. So when you rightly divide the word of truth, you're dividing truth from truth.
Amen.
Not truth from error. Okay? Many of us get that mixed up. And when you rightly divide, that is a key. The key to understanding your Bible. And that's why we call it a dispensational method of study. And you need to be a dispensational view, dispensationalist, if you will, as well as scripture. You've got to understand this. And it's not enough to be scriptural. Okay? It's not enough to be dispensational. Okay? But you can wind up being wrong even though you're scriptural. With me? You can be sincerely wrong, sincerely, that type of thing, but you're still wrong. So when we study the Word of God dispensationally, that's what I am. I'm a dispensationalist. That's how I teach the Word of God. I'm not a denominationalist, if you will. You know for a fact how denominations teach things. It's usually on their scale what they want done, period. Okay, and either you come in line with that, or they make you give you the right foot of fellowship as you go out the door, or the right hand of fellowship. Okay, but the thing is, what you got to be doing: who wrote it? When they write it, and to whom did they write it? Okay, three things like that. Very simple: who wrote it? When did they write it? And to whom did they write to? Now, who wrote it makes a big difference. God wrote it. Okay? God spoke it. Man penned it. When did they write it makes another difference. Because what was written in times past, what's written in but now, what's written in ages to come makes a difference. And to whom did they write it to? Listen. We know this for a fact. I've always been brought up, you better watch who mailbox you go into. We've got a mailbox out here. Josh lives here. Sherry lives here. I live here. We get mail from other people too sometime. Is it right for me to open up a mail that's delivered to Josh? Okay? That's larceny when you do that. So you don't want to do things like that. When we talk about the word dispensations, okay, many of you talk about this word dispensation. That's all you want to talk about. That's all you want to talk about, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, that's what God wants us to do. Amen. And the word dispensation is a God-breathed word. And it's found in the King James Bible four times, and we're going to look at that in a little bit. But other versions, they don't have that word in there. They do away with it. And the dispensation is a good word, but the problem with it is sometimes the, like, Roman Catholic, if you will, came along and made a religious word meaning something equivalent as indulgence, okay? Handle it, that type of thing. Our language, dispense, means to measure something out. Dispensation, dispensing, okay? To dispense. Dispensation is a thing that is handed out. So we don't need to be scared of this word. It's a stewardship. It's a dealing. And dispensation is a particular program or set of instructions that God administers or dispenses. Now, think about this for a second. I don't get ahead of myself. Well, I'm back up. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. Says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now, this is a particular set of instructions about the good news that was given to Paul. And Paul gives it to us. And we give it to everybody else in this dispensation. And the idea of the dispensation means that God has given you something, and what he has given is revelation. He spoke to God spoke to Paul. And it is the rules by which we relate to man in a particular point. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Now notice, what is given to Paul there? A dispensation of the grace of God, a particular set of instructions that God gave to Paul to be given to other people. So, it's just not any type of instructions. God gave Moses instructions. God gave David. God gave John the Baptist. The Lord, God gave his son instructions. His son, God gave the apostles instructions. Just so they're a particular set of instructions. A dispensation is not a time period. Okay? It is frequently misunderstood. However, it does cover time period. But it's not just an age. It's just not a time. Like right now, we're turning into springtime. Okay? God gives particular set of instructions for obedience during certain period of time. And time is involved. But the issue is the set of instructions. What is instructed to us? Now, I like to bring up CrossFit a little bit, okay? And sometimes a little bit more than I should. But anyway, the thing is, I go there for a certain period of time, okay? Usually an hour. But within that time, there's certain instructions that we do, certain things. With me? So if you think about it, that's the dispensation of CrossFit, if you will, you know, for that time. So this is what God doing. We're in a dispensation of the grace of God today, and God is dealing with certain particular instructions for us today. Very simple. That there's a revelation, there was a of information that God gave the Apostle Paul that is called a dispensation, the giving out of the grace of God. He's dispensing this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. This dispensation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, sorry. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for your body, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me to youward to fulfill the word of God. You got that? Mm-hmm. Now, do you see how the dispensation is something that God gave Paul for Paul to make known for us, for others people? The dispensation is a particular set of instructions or a particular program that God administers dispenses, okay? The common objective, if you think about it, to dispensational Bible study is that God never changes. You hear that, don't you? God never changes. God's the same. And Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore these sons of Jacob are not consumed." Pretty clear, isn't it? I change not. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever."
Amen.
Okay? You hear some people say, well, if God did something in the past, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then he's able to do it right now. Okay, you hear that. You know, and it makes sense. And you're like, yeah, uh-huh. And anything that God used to do, he can do it now, they say. Well, can he?
Sure
he
can.
He sure can he? He can. He never changes as a person. He never changes as a God. Okay? He's always going to be holy. He's always going to be just. He's always going to be righteous. He's always going to have love. He's always going to be who he is. He is God. He never changes. Period. However, God's program for man has changed. See, that's what the deal is. We've changed. But God's never changed. Ever. From the beginning to the end. And in his person, God never changes, but his program for man has changed. Why has it changed? Okay, that's the thing. Have you changed? Have you been the same since you was a little baby till now? No. Have you always been saved since you was born? Have you ever sinned? Have you ever not sinned? See, we've changed. And did God or man change?
Man.
There you go. Man's changed. And so God's changed his program. In Genesis chapter 1, God puts Adam and Eve on earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now let me ask you something. He created Adam. And he takes a rib out of Eve.
Out of Adam.
Oh, excuse me, out of Adam, sorry. Probably some people would love just love to hear that, wouldn't they? You know, he's first. He takes a rib out of Adam and creates Eve. Okay? Then they get married. And they become one again. That's very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts them in a garden. And Adam and Eve eats of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Did God change at that point?
No.
Adam and Eve changed. And can God deal with man after the fall the same way he's dealt with him before the fall? He can't. He used to walk with them, guys. He walked with Adam and Eve, God did, in the cool of the day. They was righteous beings out there in paradise where God wanted them to be. And after the fall, God shows up, and what did Adam do?
He hid.
And he covers himself with religion, a fig tree. Look with me. That's still going on today. But who changed? Once again, man's change. So God's relationship to man and what God gives man to do requires a man that changed. God had to deal with man in a different way. Now, in the dispensationalism is the issue and not the person who God is. With me? It is not what God is able to do. The issue is God dealing with man, what program God gives man, and the dispensation to obey. God is unchanging, okay? God never changes. That's very, very important to understand, too, when he's just and justifier, okay? The only way we can be just with God, righteous with God. It's what he did at Calvary through his Son, and he places us in that, and that's how he sees us. Any other time, there's nothing you and I could do to ever meet that justification. Never going to do it. And if God said his word is profitable, then there is a profit in the book. Not in a bank account. Not in a full filled parking lot out there. Or every pew filled in here. If you're going to get profit out of the book that God put there for me and you, how will you let God tell you and I how to get that profit out of the book? You go to the book, don't you?
Yes.
And then God told Paul what to tell me and you. And Paul says to rightly divide the word of truth. And if Paul tells you how to rightly divide the word of truth, wouldn't it make sense to ask him? Wouldn't it make sense to ask the apostle of grace, the apostle Paul to the dispensation of grace, the apostle Paul to the body of Christ? Wouldn't it be only right to ask him how to rightly divide the word of truth instead of jumping over here with Peter, James, and John and asking them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Or ask them, find out over 1 Peter, James, and John over here. Who's it written to? Remember?
Right.
When was it written to? So, to rightly divide them means to cut straight between things. There's a barrel between them. They are all on the same board, all in the same book, all equally true, but belongs different parts. Time's past, but now. Let's see what time we got here. We got a few minutes. When you start to compare things, if Genesis chapter 17, okay, and I'm going to give you the verses. If you want to turn there, you can. But I'm not going to read them. I'm just going to give you some things out of that. If you draw the line right through your Bible, cut straight, and on one side you put circumcision or Israel, and on the other side you put the body of Christ, uncircumcision. In Genesis 17:9, it's the circumcision that has the issue up here in Israel. Today, there's no circumcision. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. If you go to Leviticus 11:7, there's unclean foods they can't eat, and they're dietary regulations. Okay? Today, 1 Timothy 4:4, there's no restriction in food. Matthew 5:19, you keep and teach the commandments. Colossians 2:16 and Romans 6:14, you're not under the law, not under ordinances, you're not under commandments. In Acts 2:14 and 16, Joel knew about Pentecost. In Ephesians 3:3-5. The mystery preached but not prophesied. Acts chapter 3, verses 18-17. Your sins are blotted out when the times are refreshing over here. Romans 5:11, you receive atonement now. Isn't that much better? Knowing that your sins are forgiven? Something was preached since the world began. Prophecy, something kept secret since the world began. Mystery. Matthew 4:23 talks about the gospel of the kingdom. Acts chapter 20, verse 24, the gospel of the grace of God. Different gospels there. Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 18, the Son of Man delivered into the hands of men. They didn't understand it. And when he told them of his death, burial, and resurrection, okay, that's from Luke chapter 9, God told them you must go suffer and die. They didn't understand it. Luke 18, they finally understand it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 3 and 4, gospel had a different content, but was about the death, burial, and resurrection, and a meaning now understood. When Paul preaches that gospel of the resurrection, they understood it. You understand it. One was preached to Israel, the other was preached to Jew and Gentile, which is down here. But both programs work, both are legit, but they cannot be mixed. When you mix these two programs together, you don't get grace, you get mace. You know, it's just a mixture of not, you can't, listen, I know people do, so I really can't say you can't do it, people do it. And they get all mixed up. And rightly divided means to cut between the lines, and there is a barrier between them. And they are on the same board, in the same book, but you got to know that it's truth against truth. Okay? And they need to be apart from each other. The distinctions are important, guys. Very important. And when you think about, you can do the same thing with who people preach to, not just what they preach. So if I'm preaching to people, okay, I can preach a circumcision message to you without showing a distinction. And make that circumcision message that in times past that God was only dealing with the circumcision, makes it, can preach it to you, and you're going to believe it, and you're going to be mixed up. You're going to get over here to Paul, and you're like, wait a minute. Why was there a distinction before, but they're not now? And a lot of people do that. A lot of people will teach, they're so caught up with a kingdom gospel, trying to build a kingdom for God, that they just ignore what Paul is talking about, the dispensation of grace and the body of Christ, God's building body, and they go right over here. Okay? As if this didn't matter. Or they spiritualize this as saying you're a spiritual Jew, and therefore you got to spiritualize this because God's not physical right now. It's all mixed up. And if you begin to mix the two programs, as we talked about, it will result in absolute, irreversible, and total confusion. There's people today so fed up that they've been lied to, and they throw their Bible down in the corner and they never pick it up again. And they're total confused when you share some things with them, say, hey, there's clarity in the Bible. Okay, this is what you need to understand today. Just consider this. And they're still confused. Their minds just go, yeah, but I was told I had to, Acts 2:38. I was told I can pick up deadly things in Matthew, Mark. Okay, that type of thing. And they're confused. And you want to just take them and put them back down and take a milk bottle and say, just take it easy. Okay, I'm going to burp you. I'm not going to change your diaper, but I'm going to burp you. Okay? And you know, just take it easy with them and grow. And next thing you know, they're like, now I'm understanding. I'm getting the meat. And then you can give them meat. Okay? Paul talks about the Corinthians was babes. They couldn't take the meat. So that level of understanding. And when you find somebody who is so confused, you want to wrap your hands around them, don't you? And just love them and say, listen, I know where you're at. We was that way. But I thank God that, you know, we wasn't so indoctrinated. Okay, when my wife and I started dating, we started going back to the church that I was saved in. And when we started going to Sunday school and things like that, and when dispensational people approached us and started showing some distinctions, we was taking it back to the Sunday school class and sharing some. Hey, we was excited that we were starting to know our Bible, and they was like, and we was in Acts, and ye men of Israel, ye men of Judea, and I'm like, isn't he talking to the Jews? And they're like, yeah, as if it was no big deal, and kept reading. What is a big deal? So I know people's confused. I know people are. They're confused about daily life out there. Sometimes they're confused about work schedules. I thought I was supposed to come at 11 o'clock. You're supposed to come at 7. That type of thing. We all get confused in some things. But when we rightly divide a word of truth, the question now comes to how to find the divisions. Who decides where the divisions are? You know, because people would say, well, you just divide where you want to divide. That type of thing. No. God's got a design. We went through this and we're going to go through this. This is not going to be a 1-2 and you're out study. And we're going to go over some things. We've got some time between now and the catching away out of here. And should it be there or should it be somewhere else? There's some questions there. Why they ain't divided between Matthew and Malachi? It says Old Testament, New Testament. Why ain't the right division there? And when we learn to let the Bible do it for ourselves, for us, so that each step you take you will understand, and not because I said it, or Sherry said it, or Brother Tom says it, or Howard or anybody else. It's because there are verses in the Bible that will teach you how to do it. Listen, we've met people that when we share right division with them, they come to you and said, I knew this was right. Because they've been studying it. And they've been looking at it. You know, I can name 5 or 6 people right now that are just so ecstatic that what this is right. I knew I wasn't crazy. You know, that type of thing. And when we rightly divide, and you let verses in the Bible teach you how to do it, we rightly divide the word of truth by applying those first two principles that we talked about. What was they? Let the Bible mean what it says and says what it means. And the Bible is understood by comparing verse with verse to get the meaning. And the issue is, what does the Bible say? What does it teach? And as we think about the first step is to what? Believe the book.
Amen.
Okay? You have to believe the book. And it will make a difference in your life in the way you think. You have to know that you have a final authority. Okay? And mine happens to be the authorized version of the King James Bible for the English-speaking people. Okay? There's other versions out there that take words out. They add word to. And I said this... And I'll say it again. You can find a Bible version for anything you want to believe. Anything you want to teach. Well, it says it. You have to have authority. You have to have the infallible Word of God. And don't get caught up in allowing people to come in and teach out other Bible versions when you're a King James Bible guy. Okay? You stand on the platform. Don't worry about if so-and-so's behind me. But you have to worry about what you have to worry about as far as your final authority. And I know people don't like authority. They don't like to be told what to do. You know, oh, I'm free. I'm free. You know, F-R-E-E, free. You take that R out, what does that leave you? Fee. And that's what people, it's freedom. They want to charge you for your freedom. We know we're free. We know we have liberty in Christ Jesus, okay? But you don't put a cost on this. The Word of God is free. The Word of God is free to you and I. And when you preach it the right way, okay? And if everybody preached the same thing out of Paul's epistles and the Word of God, rightly divided, and the King James Bible, they wouldn't be divisions out there. They wouldn't be confusions out there. But who wants to keep that division?
Satan.
Man. Human viewpoint. Okay? As long as they can keep you tore up, not only in this world system, politically wise, but in the Bible. They keep your division. They're happy with it. They're controlling. Don't worry about everyone else's books. Worry about God's book and make everything else line up with the words on the page of the Bible. And you know what we're going to end up doing? We're going to end up, if you stick around, I hope you do, you're going to learn how not to mix these programs. Okay? It's not a goulash. It's not a smorgasbord. It's not a buffet. I don't like buffets. I went to a place yesterday and I looked at the buffet and they was getting ready to pull it out, and I walked in at breakfast time and they're getting ready to pull it out, and I'm like, I'll go see what you have. That's what I told her. And I went and I went, nope, 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 nope. It was just a mixed up board, you know? And I'm like, grease, 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 grease. old. I'm just picking. And I sit down and I have me a fried bologna sandwich. I don't know what the egg on it. I'm like, oh well. But anyway, I chose off the menu. I chose off their authority as a menu. And I chose the right thing at the time. But anyway, I know I'm joking with you, but you have to be serious when it comes to the Word of God, okay? Amen. All right, we're not going to mix the Word of God. We're not going to smorgasbord it. We're not going to play Russian roulette with it. We're going to understand the Word of God rightly divided out of the King James Bible. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Once again, we thank you for tuning in. If you want to help out with the ministry, go to www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. There's a donate button there. If you want to donate toward the ministry. We love to see you. Love to hear from you. I lift you up in prayer each day. And we're just excited that we do have another day of grace. And until this time next week, may God bless you.